Take your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 22 to 25. I'll read verse 22. You read verse 23 with me. But verse 23 is my text verse. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. And let's pray together. Lord, thank you. I do enjoy the blessings of the season. Lord, the time together. I thank you for time together with family. I thank you for time together as a family and a church. This was your idea. Please help us tonight as we open your word. Please use this truth, each person's life, strengthen us, and may we be more you, please, of what we learn for your honor and glory. And you can have a seat there. Verse 23, it says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You say, well, that's talking to Samuel, who's a prophet in Israel, and that's a verse for a pastor, and a pastor is, if he doesn't pray for his people, then surely that would be a sin against God. But and I don't mind if you want to put it in that context, but when you read verse 23 and he says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Okay, I don't think you need to apply it just to a pastor, though. That lets me know one of the greatest things we do for each other then is pray for each other. And if it's not a sin for you to not pray for each other, it's at least on God's high on his priority list for him to say, you need to be... I don't mind applying the verse this way. If your prayer requests are only for you, that Brother Hiles used to teach, he said, eventually you get to the point in the Christian life where you learn God takes care of you as you he uses you to pray for other people. And eventually you learn God knows your prayer request. He's looking to work through somebody for the needs of. Interesting. Neat verse. I hope it's marked in your Bible because it needs to be thought about. Samuel is saying, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What a verse. Pastor Owens taught me when I got to work for him. Actually, he taught me this in college. He taught me, he said, the greatest expression of love I can give you is, yes, I think it's good to say, you know, I love you and I'm praying for you. But the greatest expression of love has always been in Christianity, I prayed for you. When you weren't with me, I thought of you and lifted you up to the Lord before his throne. And I thought of your needs. And I asked God to help you and to intervene and work on your part. I don't mind hearing I love you, and I think it's good to express that as Christians. We're supposed to love each other. But the deepest expression of love should also be, I prayed for you. I just want you to know. I don't want everybody else to know. I just want you to know. I prayed personally. I lifted you up in prayer. There were some people that were going through burdens, and I remember going in our church thinking, you told me Tuesday was the day. I prayed for you three specific times. Didn't pray for you just once. I prayed for you three times. That's supposed to be taken as an expression of love as we tell each other. And don't say it if you don't do it. Amen. Don't turn it into that. Because I've kind of suspected that with some, but not all. Amen. Just because I'm a sinner. But don't say I'm praying for you if you're not. But if you are, it should be a genuine expression of love. Jesus told us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. If I read Luke 11, and we're not going to tonight, it's a different Bible study, but it teaches you to pray at night for God's power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If we turn to Luke 18, you learn to pray it in the daytime for the needs of others. Luke 18, 1 through 8. We won't go through that tonight, but there's so many wonderful aspects. When God says in Ephesians 1:16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, all Christians. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. If I make the statement, I honestly believe one of the greatest joys of the Christian life is leading someone to Christ, okay? And if you haven't had that, I think it's something you need to be praying for God to help you do. Lord, help me lead someone. I have said before, the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is lead someone to Christ and put forth effort to do so. I'd like to change it to the greatest joy in your life you'll ever have is leading another soul to Christ. That's a true statement. I'd like to say the greatest thing you'll do is when you learn to pray more than just for yourself. And it might be the greatest. You realize people don't get saved unless you pray. Well, no, if you go soul winning and you give the gospel. I know that. But people don't get saved unless you pray for them. And if you didn't pray for them and they get saved, it's because somebody else was praying for them. And you got saved because someone was praying for you, and then you heard the gospel and you got saved. So I've often thought of this as a pastor, and I think as a Christian, one of the greatest things that I can do is pray. Because when you don't pray, God doesn't work. And when you pray is when God works. We'll kind of look at that tonight. Praying for each other. Go to Colossians chapter 1. There's three prayers, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, and Colossians 1. And if I'm going, because see, here's the thing. They say 90% of all prayer requests are health. And there's nothing wrong with praying, Lord, be with so-and-so in their sickness, and you've prayed for me when I've been sick. That's one of the things that kind of spurred this message as far as I look at the prayers that have been answered this year. I mean, I know there was life before September. It just seems so far away. September's when I got sick and got put in the hospital. I remember somebody was telling me about their hospital bills of being in the hospital for 7 days was, I think, $110,000, and they were in for the same thing I was. I was in for 9 days. So my wife and I, we started praying, and I was like, Lord, if you got 80-20, you know what that is, right? The insurance pays 80 and you pay 20. I was like, 20% of 100 grand is 20,000. Yeah. Well, you ought to be thankful, 80,000. I'm sure I'm worried about the 20. That's my wife and I, we started praying about that after I got out of the hospital. We were expecting a $160,000-$200,000 bill. Four letters came in the mail. You've been charged this much, contested by the VA. Thank you for your service.
I'm out to do all four. I didn't deserve that. That was an answer. I just said, Lord, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 left to pay. Okay, make your payment. You know, $100, $200 a month, whatever it is you can afford. Four letters broke the bill down. Thank you for your service. It's a blessing.
I'd like to praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Others have been in the hospital. Amen. It's not because I'm better than them. But I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I learned when I was in the hospital, I got texts, many of you and my wife and everybody and people from all over the country. We're praying for you. We're praying for you.
I think I'm alive because of the prayers of God's people.
Stephen Ray Nichols said, 98% of my friends who were in the same position you were in, he said, have died. He said, you made it through to God. I'm so glad. Because someone prayed for me. Because I was being. I think it's very important. I think praying for each other. So I have no problem praying for health needs. Amen. In other words, I know 90% of our prayer requests are health oriented. I don't think that should stop. But look at the prayers when God is teaching us to pray for each other in Colossians 1, and you'll see some things that aren't there. Health isn't one of them. Amen. All right. So look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at this first. When God is teaching us, look at verse 9. And let's just break this down and see what we can learn here. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And then here we go. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what the first prayer that I think God's trying to teach us to pray for each other? The first one is, Lord, please help them to your will. Okay, versus what? Not their will. Because our will gets in the way, right? So God says, when you pray for each other, do you ever go through this list and let this be your prayer list for each person that you're thinking about? Do you ever pray, Lord, help them to do your will today? Lord, help them to do what you saved them to do, what you created them to do. And notice the next prayer request. that you might be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, right? Is that what it says here? It says, for the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, do you ever ask God to give people wisdom? What's that mean? Lord, help them to see life from your eyes, not theirs. Give them scriptural insights into what they're dealing with. Help them to be wise according to the Bible. There's worldly wisdom, which leads to nothing, and then there's scriptural wisdom. Lord, help them to handle their marriage and their home and their family and their job, Lord, with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Dear God, help them to see the spiritual side. When you pray for each other, this is God teaching us, pray for them to find the Lord's will and to do God's will. Pray for them to be wise and to have spiritual understanding. Then, look at the next thing. There's a list here of about 8 things. It says, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Stop. That's a prayer request. Do you ever pray, Lord, help so-and-so please you today? Lord, help them walk. What a statement. Help them to walk worthy of what you saved them to. That would be growth, right? You see what I mean? When God is teaching us to pray for each other, you think, oh, well, you pray for financial needs and you pray for physical needs. But none of this comes into play. When you pray for each other, God's telling you what he wants you to ask him for. The will of God, wisdom, spiritual understanding. And then, here, help them to walk worthy. Lord, if they face temptation today, Lord, please help them to say no for your testimony's sake. Strengthen them to live for you. Help them to walk worthy. Do you ever pray that? Watch this. Just let's go through our Bible here. Being fruitful in every good work. Fruitful. I don't think you can substitute the word success for fruitful. I think fruitful as being a Christian means your testimony. Somebody watched you, how you worked, how you got it done, and you were a testimony for the Lord. That's fruitful. Lord, help them please today to realize they don't have to do their job by themselves, that Lord, you want to work with them. And Lord, please help them to be fruitful in their work, in their testimony, in their life. Remember, what are we learning to do? We're learning to pray for one another. And what is the first prayer list God gives us here in Colossians 1? Look at the next phrase. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, help them to learn who you are and to know you. Well, that only happens you read your Bible. You could say that's a prayer to read. Lord, help them to read their Bible. Help them to be faithful to their time with you so they can grow in knowledge of the Lord. You're going to hear me say it probably 10 more times. But when you pray for other people, do you ever ask the Lord for these? God, help them find your will. Help them to please you. Give them wisdom. Help them. Give them spiritual understanding. And I'll answer the question for you. I want this to expose you to start. Can you imagine taking each person and praying this for each person? Versus, here's the other prayer. Ready? Lord, be with so-and-so today and help them have a good day. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that prayer, but there's so much more you can pray, right? Watch this. It says here, and increasing in the knowledge of God, look at verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering of joyfulness. Wow. Lord, help them strong today. Lord, when the pressure comes and they're under the temptation, Lord, help them to be strong. Strengthen them, dear God. You'll read it in Ephesians, by your Spirit in their inner man. Help them to be spiritually strong. Grow them. Wow, what a prayer. Can you imagine praying this for each other? Okay. Notice verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. What's the last prayer request here? Help them be thankful that you delivered them and saved them. Lord, help them be thankful for their salvation. You'll notice whenever you lose gratitude that you're a saved child of God, the Christian life gets real foggy. But when you focus again on, you know what, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. When your gratitude rises for your salvation, it seems like there's a freshness. it's better than Febreze. Amen. Thankfulness helps loosen life. And Lord, thank you for saving me. That's what he's praying. Lord, help them to be a thankful Christian that they've been delivered. That's 8 prayer requests in Colossians 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Watch this. Here's a prayer list. That's why, and I don't think you have to go to three places to pray for each other. But if you took Colossians 1 or Ephesians 1, and you said, when I'm praying for people in our church, when I'm praying for people that I love, when I'm praying for people that as a church family, I think some of these prayer requests ought to be, in other words, you ought to learn to pray in a more mature way. There ought to be some, I just look at God telling us in His Word, this is how I need you to talk to me for other people so I can work in their life. Amen? Will God protect them on their way to work and make sure they don't have an accident and keep them today from, sure God can. But God can do so much more than that. So look at Ephesians chapter 1 and watch this. Look at verse 15. This is Paul's prayer that God teaches us through him in learning the truth. Watch this. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, now the prayer request begins. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Lord, speak to their heart as they read your Lord, give them wisdom. Wisdom is such a wonderful prayer. Do you realize when Solomon prayed, dear God, give me wisdom. These are your people. I'm just a child. I don't even know how to lead. God said that one prayer right there will get you everything else. Riches and a long life. There'll never be a king as rich as you ever in the world, before you or after you. Because he asked for one thing, wisdom. Dear God, give me. Same thing, praying for each other. Lord, please give them. Open their eyes. Okay, watch this. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Have you ever prayed, dear Lord, open their eyes. Help them to see spiritually what you're doing in their life. They don't have to be this confused. They don't have to be this frustrated. Show them, Lord. Remember when Elijah was on the mountain and the servant said, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? And Elijah prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And it says the servant looked and the skies were full of chariots of fire. There's more that be with us than be with them. Settle down. Everything's going to be all right. Lord, open their eyes. There's a better way to live than being stressed out. Oh, I've just got so much to do and I just can't believe this. There's a better way to live. Lord, open their eyes. Do you ever pray that for your brothers and sisters in Christ, for each other? Lord, give them spiritual understanding and help them to see what you're... Look at verse 18. We're at 18. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. There it is again. What's the hope of his calling? When were you called when you got saved? What is God's hope for your life before you die? It's what we're supposed to be living for, right? Lord, show them what the hope of your calling in their life. Show them why you saved them. None of us should be having an identity crisis. Well, I'm just trying to find myself. You're messed up somehow. You're reading too much of the world or something. Something's programming you, but God doesn't teach us to think that way. I have until I die to live for God. There's things I'm supposed to accomplish for the Lord before I die. You say you're a pastor, you're a Christian, and it's the same for you. Dear God, open their eyes and show them the hope of your calling in their life. That's how we're supposed to pray for each other. Let's keep on reading. Look at here, verse end of verse 18, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. If you knew all that was awaiting you in heaven as a joint heir of Jesus, you'd be looking forward to heaven. That's where our inheritance is, right? He says here, okay, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. We can't fathom already. Our mind can't conceive. Eye hath not ears, ear hath not heard. Eye hath not ear heard. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Neither hath the heart. We can't picture all that God has for us. Lord, please help us to live with eternity in view. Help us not to live for this world. Show us. Help us to live for our inheritance, for what God has for us. Look at verse 19. There's a comment at the end of saints there at verse 18. It says, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? What a verse. The power is mentioned one, okay, his mighty power, his exceeding greatness. So God's working in your life and God wants to give you all the power you need to help do what he saved you to do. Dear God, help them to see. All they need to do is trust you. Help them to, Lord, help them to see you want to give them what they need to live for you. But how come Christians don't? Because they got their eyes on other things, their minds on other things. Lord, show them the greatness of your power, not for the preacher, for you. What God greatly wants to help you with. This isn't a self-help sermon, right? But everything you want, God wants you to do, you can do with the Lord's help if you'll ask. And there's power available. The only reason we don't get it is because we don't ask for it. That's God's prayer in learning to learn the truth. In learning the truth, Ephesians chapter 1, go down to chapter 3. Watch this. Here's the second. Here's the prayer for living the truth. Ephesians chapter 3. So Colossians has one prayer. Ephesians 1 has one prayer, and Ephesians 3. Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, and Ephesians 3. Look at verse 14. Ready? Here we go. Here's another prayer list. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What's the prayer request? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Dear God, strengthen them today to live for you. Help them, Lord, to be strong where you saved them spiritually, to be strengthened with might in the inner man. What a thing to think about. What a prayer request, right? Once again, praying for each other, looking at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I think that's an amazing. In other words, how do you get saved? You get saved by trusting Jesus as your Savior. But this is a prayer for after you're saved, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. What's that mean? Lord, help them to realize you're with them in everything they do today. You never leave them. Nor he dwells in your heart. There's nothing you have to do alone. You can talk to the Lord anytime you want. Isn't that wonderful? A lot of people, you know, if you're saved out of a Catholic background, you come to the church and you genuflex and you do all this stuff, and this is where you're spiritual, and then when you leave, you're not spiritual anymore until you come to church again. Let Christ dwell in their hearts by faith. Lord, help them to realize you're with them everywhere they go, and they can live holy unto you everywhere because you never leave them. What a prayer request for Christians, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. He's always with you. What about here, at the end of verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The more you can dwell about how much God loves you, the more you're filled with God. What it says? Do you fully understand how much God loves you? God says you can't. This doesn't happen until the perfect age, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when Jesus hands over the kingdom to his Father, and then God is all in all, 45,000 years. Do you really know how much God loves you? I think you're supposed to think about it. You'll never fully understand it. We get in our new body, but it's wonderful to think God loves you more than you'll ever know. I love this thought. There's nothing you can do to make God love you than he does right now. There's nothing you can do to make God love you. God loves you more than you realize and will ever. Isn't that a wonderful verse, that you being rooted and grounded in that? If you could just realize God never leaves me, and to be rooted and grounded in love. Here we go. Now take your Bible. We've looked at three prayer lists tonight. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, and Ephesians 3. You could use one. You could use all three. I saw some similarities in them. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 11. Isaiah 45 and verse 11. I would like this to help you pray, so that you pray, you grow in praying for other Christians, and you could pray more maturely for them, maybe. Maybe on, I'm praying on God's basis, right? God's telling me what to ask him for them. And that's a more, I think you're on praying ground. Look at Isaiah 45, 11. I want you to think about this. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Watch this. And concerning the work of my hands command ye. What's the word prayer mean? It means to ask. And you haven't prayed until you've asked God for something specific. You can worship God, you can thank God, you can confess your sins to God, but you have not prayed until you have asked God for something. And God says, ask of me concerning the work of my hands, command me. And God's not saying talk belligerently to me or boss me around. And God, why didn't you? He's not talking about that. God says, when you pray, I work. And when you don't pray, I don't work. So to ask me to do something and watch heaven move. Isn't that wonderful verse? Concerning the work of my hands, ask me to work in people's lives. Ask me to save people. Ask me to help. Ask me to work. See, if you don't pray, prayer's a cop-out, and prayer isn't work, and prayer's for lazy people. But if you truly pray, it's work, isn't it? A focus, and I'm at the throne of grace. I'm before my King. Sometimes I'm at the foot of the cross, confessing my sins. Sometimes I'm right before the throne. But if you truly pray, it's work. It's not a cop-out. Concerning the work of my hands, command. God says, ask me. Ask me what needs to be done. Let me help you. That's how I see the verse. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Tonight, I wanted to show you about praying for each other and what God teaches us, how to pray for each other, how to properly, scripturally pray for each other. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. There's two other things God says to pray for. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. I'll just tell you, God tells you to pray for each other, and then God tells you to pray for me. I'm not trying to get anything from you as much as for you to grow spiritually in church. God tells you to pray for your pastor. I'll show you that. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Look at verse 19, and for me. So this is either Paul asking for prayer, or this is God's word. It's not man's word, and God is telling you to pray for your pastor. I don't think this is Paul making a prayer request. This is God teaching us through Paul, pray for your preacher. Pray what? Ready? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Open my mouth boldly. Why would I not open my mouth boldly? Because I'd be interested in who's going to be offended, who's going to stop tithing if I preach that sermon, or who's going to feel like I'm riding it. Did you know if you prayed for me and the sermons for me to preach to you, you would not be offended at what was preached? You wouldn't leave church going, he's attacking me. If you pray, Lord, give him this Sunday what we, Lord, what I need. Lord, please speak through him. Help him to not hold back. You don't think I'm tempted to hold back? Every preacher. I've had people walk out of here, 6 years being the pastor here. I've had three times we've had people get upset during the sermon and get up, middle sermon, and walk out. One guy took his whole family out. And that was just during announcements. And I was like, man, if you're upset during announcements, you might have exploded during the message. You don't think I'm tempted? All the time. Tone it down. You'll offend less people. God says, pray for me that utterance may be given me, that I may speak the truth in all boldness. God, help him. God, help him to give it all. Everything you give him, don't let him modify nothing. Isn't that the prayer? Pray for your pastor. What? Okay, watch this. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that there I may speak. There's the word boldly again, as I ought to speak. Lord, help him not to tailor a message to somebody. I come here, he doesn't preach on long hair on men. Well, we got somebody in the church with long hair. By the time visitors come in, and then it just so happens, you know, he's wearing earrings. You know, I hit the verse, effeminate men. Oh, preacher, not now. Please, not now. And I'm going, Lord, please, not now. You don't think that's going through my mind? But I didn't know they were coming when I prayed and asked God to help me with a message. So maybe it's the Lord giving them what they need instead of, watch this, me attacking somebody. I never alter a message. I don't alter a message for lost people. I don't alter a message. When I pray all week long, Lord, give me, please, the people need. I don't care if Joe Biden walked in. He wouldn't remember anything I said anyways. Okay. But I don't care if the president and the Secret Service walked in here. I'm not changing the message. You say, well, they need to hear about, you know, our history in America and how, you know, Baptists influenced the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Okay, they might, but I'm not changing the message. You want to hear that, Joe? Come back tonight. You still won't remember anything I say. You might even remember to come back tonight, okay? I just said that to say I don't alter a message for anybody. I've learned that through the years. Take your Bible and now go to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. I think the Bible teaches, when you have the mindset for it, to pray for each other. And God tells you how to pray for each other. God says, when you lift each other up in prayer, pray these things. Pray this prayer list. Ask me to work. Pray for your pastor. Ephesians 6. Look at Psalm 80. Look at verse 17. Watch this. I've thought of this verse many times. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. You ever heard somebody say, that's my right hand man? Okay, who's God's right hand man? The under shepherd of the church. He's the shepherd. I'm the under shepherd, right? To me, this is a prayer. Lord, let your hand be upon the man of thy right hand. And dear God, when he stands up and preaches, please, let your hand come in power and let your hand and presence rest on him, please. And then notice why. Look at Psalm 80, verse 17. He said, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Why? Verse 18, so will not we go back from thee, so I don't backslide. Lord, help him cry aloud and preach against sin so I don't, because my heart is prone to quit. But Lord, help him cry aloud and spare not. Watch this. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Look at verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Turn us. He's asking for revival. God, revival comes because your presence rests upon your man through the preaching of your word. And dear God, let your hand rest upon the man of thy right hand. That's always been a prayer for the... Dear God, give him what I need. And Lord, if I need a face ripping tonight, then Lord, let it be. And Lord, if he needs to stomp my toes, I'll take off my steel-toed boots. Amen. Whatever it is, do you pray for the messages of your church that God will give me what you... I believe the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that. How about this? Go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'll say it again. If you don't pray, prayer's for lazy people. Prayer's a Christian cop-out. But if you pray at all, and if you're growing in your prayer life, you don't accidentally pray or casually pray. There's nothing casual about it. It's work. Romans 15, verse 30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, watch, that ye strive together with me, fight with me in your prayers to God for me. Please strive. The word strive means to get in a match and to match strength against strength. I need you to pray and battle for me in prayer to God. Why? Look at the next verse. Verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. You know what he's praying for? He's praying for protection. I went ahead and put this in. I've had a couple of death threats in my life, but not like some preachers. Some preachers, like Brother Hiles used to say, he said, you guys, he said, you get one death threat and you want to quit the ministry. He said, I get death threats, phone calls every day. People say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to shoot. He said, grow up. He said, it's the ministry. He said, if you live for God, you're going to make the devil's crowd mad. He said, straighten up. I remember that very well. Here he's praying for protection. And I would just like to request tonight, using the Bible, would you please pray for me for God's protection, deliverance? You say, why? It's in the Bible. If you smite the shepherd, then what happens to the sheep scattered? You don't think the devil knows that? Praise the Lord. When I was sick, the Lord gave us a Brother Doggett that would help. Amen. I wouldn't go through that again. Put a gun to my head. Amen. But it was neat to watch our church love and pray and move around. It was kind of beautiful to watch. I don't want it to happen again. I'm not praying that it happens again. But people move. So what? We could pray for the pastor and everybody kind of stayed focused. Praise the Lord. We didn't lose through that time. We could have. Because what's the devil? If you smite the shepherd, just hit the shepherd. The sheep are scattered. To knock down one pin knocks them all out. Do you ever pray for your pastor? Because I have the devil on my case more than you. There's pressures I experience. And I knew this. I knew this. And this isn't me getting sympathy. But I go through things you will never, because I'm the pastor. I will face the devil on levels you won't. Praise the Lord. Because the devil knows if he can take me out, it'll hurt many people. Right? You're taking, you know, many birds with one stone. Okay? You pray for me. Dear God, deliver. Help. I think we're taught that in the Bible. For somebody to say, well, I know what... I don't think anybody knows what pastoring's like until you... Amen? I'm thankful to be one. Amen? Not looking to resign anytime soon. Okay? But until you've been a pastor, could not know. I thought I knew as an assistant pastor. I like what one guy said. You have... Why? What was that prayer in Acts 19? The devil answered back to those men, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Who in hell knows you because of your living for God? He said, I've heard of Paul. This is the demon speaking through the guy. He said, I know Jesus because he's God. And I know Paul because he's caused a whole ruckus. But you've done nothing for God. I don't even know you. And what did the demon do? Tore all seven men, tore their clothes off, beat them. They left the house in stripes. Hell, when you live for God, it gets hell's attention. And then you get more enemies coming at you spiritually. That's taught all the way through the Bible. Could I just ask you, please pray for each other. And I would like you to ask to pray. Please pray that God gives me what to preach. One more prayer request, and then tonight we'll close. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I don't know that this is an end of the year sermon or anything else like that. I think we all have a lot to be thankful for. I think it's blessed us in wonderful ways. I'd love to have a testimony time. We'll probably do that at watch night, just to where you testify and tell how good God's been. I know I'd love to praise the Lord for a long time, but you're supposed to pray for each other, and God tells you how. You're supposed to be praying for your past. It's supposed to happen, and God tells you how. And look at Matthew chapter, where are we at? 9. Look at verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 18, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into it. Couldn't God just touch people's hearts to go be soul winners and missionaries, pastors, and to serve the Lord on his own? He could, but he doesn't. He said, I want you to ask me, the Lord of the harvest, that I would send forth laborers into the harvest. Because when you don't pray... I don't. You pray, I work. Well, God, can't you? I can, but I work when you pray. Could I ask you, Christian, I think one of the most important prayers we pray, give us, there'll always be more people to win than we can. We're not going to win them all, okay? But what are we supposed to be praying? Lord, please give our church Sunday school. Lord, give us soul winners. Lord, give us laborers. And when was the last time you asked God to send laborers? I just think it's amazing. If the Lord is saying, I need you to pray and ask me this specifically, I think this should be at the top of his prayer list. I think it's an amazing. Jesus said, I have one. I preached one time called Jesus's prayer request. What's the Lord need you to pray for? I want you to pray that God sends labor. Do you ever pray, Lord, send missionaries? More missionaries are coming off than going on. It's dwindling. More pastors, more. 100 churches close every week. And no, 100 churches aren't open. More churches are closing than are opening. It's getting smaller. I would think if there was ever a time to be praying for laborers, it's always been for the past 2,000 years. Could I just ask you, when was the last time you asked God, please send for God, we need mission. Lord, touch people's hearts. We will teach. We need bus. Lord, please give us people to labor in the harvest. He said to pray that way. Tonight, I wanted to give you a Bible study on praying for each other. It's really more specific than just, Lord, help them financially and help their health. And I want that. But it gets a lot more specific. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for him. Where'd you sin? I prayed for nobody but myself, but I didn't pray for him. What a verse. What a wonderful verse. I hope it helps you tonight, and I hope it changes. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for this truth. Please, Lord, to lift each other up in prayer. Pray.